Welcome, welcome.
Here we are.
It is the 23rd of July. I've about lost all of the weight that I ever had due to sweat.
It's hot.
It's hot. And it is episode 93. So, dude, we already set it out. We need to figure out what we're doing for that 100th.
Yes, we do.
Scary Dad Podcast. We are the podcast you subscribe to and the one you're listening to right now. And this is one that Scott's going to take a good part of the lead on because...
It was my idea.
It was his idea, and he did most of the research for it. And I was like, man, usually when they say somebody dies of natural causes, it's not
this
really...
This left open to interpretation.
It's not a big story. But I harken back to George Carlin being like, oh, all these hippies want to do everything natural, natural, natural. He's like, you know what? Nuclear waste is natural.
Yeah, that's just it.
It happens in nature.
So, it's a very broad, broad topic there. What can be considered natural causes? Lots of things that just exist in nature can kill you.
Yeah, most of it.
Things you do every day can kill you pretty easily.
So we'll get into that here shortly. Got to get into the old business.
First, the old business.
And here we go. Starting off on a very, very high note. On this date in 1885, President Ulysses S. Grant dies of throat cancer. Technically natural causes.
Yes.
And in 1903, the Ford Motor Company sells its first car. That's pretty cool.
Can you imagine? Cycle.
Well, can you imagine just like being the salesman? You walk into the dealership and you're like, hey. And they're like, hi, let me show you this fine new contraption. And there's constantly stuff going on in the news about immigration and this and that. And we don't touch on anything political, except for sometimes you look in the past and realize that the more things change, the more they stay the same. So on this date in 1929, the fascist government of Italy bans the use of foreign words.
Really?
I don't know how that's possible.
I know. Because most countries take words from other languages and use them in their own language.
Well, and considering that Italian is one of the Romance languages that's based primarily on Latin, of which most languages take their roots to begin with, banning foreign words... In Italy, banning foreign words is, like, damn near impossible. Like, right. What do you call a taco?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what it is. There's no other word for that. Except maybe sandwich, if you're being real real generous with the definition. But, yeah, so that must have been hard. On this date, in 1982, outside Santa Clarita, California, actor Vic Morrow and two children are killed when a helicopter crashes onto them while shooting a scene for Twilight Zone, the movie. Yep. So tragic. I mean, horribly. They got chopped by that helicopter blade.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I used to travel by copter all the time going offshore and everything when I used to work in the oil field. And I would always freak because they wouldn't shut it down for us to get off the helicopter at a platform. The rotors were still going. And he used to always warn you, you know, directly to the side at a 90-degree angle. Do not go around the front because the blades tilt towards the front. And just the thought of getting your head chopped off of one of those, just Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, that's not good. Okay, there's it's kind of a slow news day. Kind of slow news day historically. Notable births: this date in 1961, Mr. Woody Harrelson. 1965, Slash, one of my favorite people.
He's coming to Houston here pretty soon.
1967, Philip Seymour Hoffman. 1968, Stephanie Seymour. Schwing.
Yeah.
1972, Marlon Wayans.
Funny guy. Huge family of funny people.
And in 1989, Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter himself. Yep. You're a wizard, Harry. All right, notable deaths, 1982, Mr. Vic Morrow, 2011, Amy Winehouse, and 2012, Sally Ride, the first American woman into space.
We just talked about her.
And, like I said, slow news day, that is all there is for old business. So, moving on. We'll take a break and be right back.
Michael and Sam have just moved to Santa Carla, California. They're about to discover its secret.
Notice anything unusual about Santa Carla yet?
No. It's a pretty cool place. If you're a Martian.
Or a vampire.
So where are you? The flying nun!
I'm your brother, Sammy. Help me!
Stay back! Stay back!
What's happening to me, Star?
Get yourself a good sharp stake. Drive it right to his heart.
You're a vampire, Michael.
My own brother, a damn blood-sucking vampire.
Oh, you wait till Mom finds out, buddy.
When a vampire buys it, it's never a pretty sight.
Michael, they're coming! Oh, shit!
And we're back.
I gotta tell you something funny real quick. My son's gonna kill me for bringing this up, but he called me last week freaking out. He had to work. He's now the deck manager at the Y that he lifeguards at. So he's over all the other lifeguards and stuff. So he gets a phone call saying, hey, we're having an audit today. He was supposed to take my daughter to the Pride Festival, but he ended up having to work because they had this audit coming up. She's like, all right, cool, whatever. So the mystery shoppers come in, and he immediately notices this guy is drowning in the pool. So he jumps in, he drags the guy out. The other mystery shopper walks up and says, okay, check his vitals. So Noah checks the vitals, and the guy says, okay, he has a pulse, but he's not breathing. So Noah knows immediately, okay, his other lifeguard is there with him. I gotta go ahead and get his breathing going. So he gets the toolkit out, gets the apparatus, and he goes to start the breathing, and he looks, and the lifeguard is pulling out a defibrillator. And he said he looked at her like, what in the fuck are you doing? And she hooks up the stuff and turns it. So now, it's just stand back. So now he's like, I can't do the breathing because I got to fucking stand back now because this idiot just put on the... He said it was... They failed it totally. They shut the pool down. They had to clear the pool and everything.
Oh, no.
He was furious. He was so mad, dude. It was sad. But I was cracking up laughing the whole time, thinking to myself, I could see this guy laying there trying to pretend like he just drowned and hearing the defibrillator crank up. He's like, I'm wet. I'm on the deck. This is going to hurt really bad.
You don't defibrillate somebody.
Yeah, but poor son, he wasn't too happy about that.
Oh, no.
Okay.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
You remember Jason Goes to Hell?
Yeah.
I don't remember it very well.
I saw it in the theater. I've seen it a few times.
Okay. Well, there's a movie that's going to be in the works here pretty soon that is completely inspired by Creighton Duke, who is the bounty hunter from the movie. Originally, that character was played by Stephen Williams, and he will.
It was in WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yes, he will be playing the role again in the. He was in It. He was the grandfather of Chosen in It. He's going to be playing the film again. So they're going to be doing a spinoff of the Creighton character from Jason Goes to Hell. It's not going to be a Friday the 13th movie or anything like that. But
that is bizarre. You take a 25-year-old. Sequel in a franchise and not the most popular one there was.
Right, nowhere near the most popular one it was.
And anyway.
Okay. Recently in Memphis, Tennessee, there was an odd formation in the sky after the storm. It was called a roll cloud. You ever heard of a roll cloud? Apparently they're very rare, but they're really cool looking. This was the roll cloud that came through, okay? So, and you can look at this and see what people would think this. All of a sudden, everybody around Memphis, Tennessee had a flashback from Independence Day and thought a UFO was coming down to Memphis, Tennessee. Flooded the police station with phone calls, freaking out, figured they had saw a UFO and caused all kind of panic and everything, which is kind of cool.
That's awesome.
But look it up. Roll clouds look really cool. I'd love to see one, man. That's kind of cool. All right. This is not Florida. It's going to sound like Florida, but it's actually Montana. So put yourself in Florida for this Montana story. A 19-year-old machete-wielding woman broke into her ex-boyfriend's home with machete in hand, directed him to disrobe, then forced him to have sex with her while she held the machete to his neck. She entered the victim's home on a Friday. He wasn't there. She hung out. When he got there, she confronted him from behind with a machete, told him to get on the bed, remove his clothes. She straddled on top of him, holding the machete, finished having intercourse with him, then sat in the corner holding the machete, leaning against the wall, threatening him and wouldn't let him leave the residence. So he actually, they didn't show the pictures, but he says he snapped a couple of pictures with his phone of her sitting against the wall with this machete. Then eventually was able to escape from the house, take off, call the police, and she was arrested for aggravated burglary and assault with a weapon.
Wow.
Yeah. This is just psychotic, dude.
See, let's. So you're talking about they're doing a side project on an old Friday the 13th, and there's what? Okay, it's not to do with the machete wielding girl, except for. I told you last week or whatever, I just recently went back and watched. I've been trying to make it through all the Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. So I recently went back and watched part two again. And just like you, I've seen that movie dozens of times. But we're working on this kind of a thing for Scary Dad, where Scott and I watch old movies that we've seen a lot, and then we watch it one time as if we've never seen it. So try to notice little details, maybe see stuff that, you know, you might take for granted. And so instead of being like, oh, that's the part where so-and-so gets it, you kind of just hope to be shocked. But what I noticed about that movie, low-budget follow-up to a low-budget original,
right,
is that it's suspenseful and effective, and there's really not that much to it at all.
They're in one house.
The set's small. All it takes is some well-placed music and some effectively scared victims, and you have an effective horror movie. Like, you definitely had some cuts and some stabs and stuff, but even a lot of that was edited. So, you know, but you can make an effectively scary movie without a whole lot of money or a whole lot of hype. And this dude, I mean, I'm thinking, like, if my wife was coming after me with a machete, she'd take one swing, overswing, and I would have that thing out of her hand like that.
Yeah.
And I am not some kind of karate master. I just am capable and competent. But that chick scared this dude enough that she held him hostage for hours.
She has kind of a crazy look in her eye. So,
but all you need is a machete, some ill intent, and you can remake Halloween, dude. You don't need billions of dollars and a multi-million dollar
CGI marketing campaign and all kind of other crap.
You can make a good scary movie with just some shadows and some jump scares, you know what I mean?
They've been doing it for a long time.
So it seems like a lot of the remakes and a lot of the stuff they're trying to do are trying to capture that same effect. But that same effect came from not having money and having to be creative. That was what, like, the difference between, like, you know, Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2. He got a little bit more money. He had a little bit more in the effects budget. But the story was still there.
Yeah.
It's still a good story. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. It's just one of those things. Like, guys, you can make a movie that'll scare people without Justice League funding on it, you know?
Right.
probably make more money than them too.
Okay. Nightbreed TV series is in the works right now for a reboot.
That's another one of those that I wonder how many people have actually seen Nightbreed.
Right.
Like, not us, but modern people.
It's probably on that list of 50 horror movies you've never seen. It got to 30 before I saw one I hadn't seen. So. Okay, so Clive Barker and Morgan Creek are working together to set up this TV series based on Nightbreed, the short story collection in Cabal. It's going to be on Sci-Fi Network. Not sure how excited I am about that. Yeah. We'll see how it works, but Barker has a way of doing things. So I've got some hope for, you know, I'm a huge Clive Barker fan. He, the guy that is writing it with him is Josh Stolberg, who worked with Jigsaw and Piranha. So we'll see how it comes up. Written by Stolberg, he says, Nightbreed explores race relations in America. Only the races are humans and monsters. It follows a group of underground half-human, half-monster seeking to find a new refuge and home after their original hiding place is destroyed. Leading these efforts is a recently turned reluctant hero who not only is adjusting to his new supernatural status, but also is dealing with the grief and mystery surrounding the death of his fiancée. With his group band together despite being hunted and persecuted by humans who find their otherness to be frightening. So we shall see how that all turns out. And that's what I got. I got one other story, which I thought was funny. I didn't get the actual article, though, but this dude in England was born without a penis. Okay, some rare. He has one testicle. He, for many years, he had to use a kind of like a urine type of colostomy bag for his urine and stuff because it hurt too much to try to set up a tube for him to pee out of. He's 42 years old. And he just got a bionic penis. They're actually calling it a bionic penis. They did is they took muscle and skin from his forearm, grafted it off, replaced that with muscle and skin from his ass, replaced that on his forearm, took the forearm stuff and rolled it up like a tube.
Like a dong.
And put a tube in the middle for him to be able to pee through. All right. And also to inflate it. And he has like a little pump thing implanted in his body where he'll be able to press a button and it'll come to attention. Now, he just had it put on. It cost £50,000.
So 100 grand, basically.
Yeah. For a... now, doctors in America have told him that if he would have done that shit here, it would have been about $1 million to have a bionic penis like he has. Now, he did mention that it's the size of his forearm, so it's a nice size. He can do porn if he wants now with his bionic penis. They have to test it out to make sure it's going to work properly before he can actually lose his virginity to his girlfriend. He has to keep an erection on it for 10 days to make sure it's not going to leak or anything. So for the next 10 days, his bionic penis is going to be at full attention before he can deflate it again.
Oh, wow.
I thought that was an awesome story. And that's why you don't have sideshows anymore. See, he would have been no penis boy.
Yeah.
But or bionic penis boy. Because of technology now, he has a bionic penis. Made out of forearm skin and muscle.
So, you know my boy Chris from Dudes and Beer?
Yes. I wrote him today. I sent him a message today about Walton Goggins.
That guy is a unapologetic, let's just say he is a legal weed advocate. And has been for pretty much as long as I've known him. And so this was, God, 20 plus years ago. At the time I had this little crafting business and mostly I sold like, you know, beaded jewelry and stuff that I would wood burn and stuff. It's just like a little side hustle, make a few, you know, basically for beer money. And my girlfriend at the time, she brought home some modeling clay. Brought home, we didn't live together. She brought it over. She brought some modeling clay. And it was the kind of modeling clay that you don't have to fire. It's like you can form it, and then
yeah,
it dries
over
it
with oxygen.
Sets
yeah.
in the air.
Yeah.
So she came over, and we were, and Chris wasn't there. She brought this modeling clay home, and we were sitting there making stuff. And her idea was for the little craft business, we'd make little incense burners. And so she was making these little, you know, she'd make a little disc and put some beads in there and put a hole, and then you'd set it, and then, you know, just like a little, anyway. Well, I started getting drunk and messing around with the clay, and so what I ended up doing was making a dong. So, like, roll up the clay, you know, flatten the head, you know, flatten the end, fold it over to where it looks like a head, you know, put an incense stick down it, so that's where the incense stick would go, and then it kind of curved up, and then the balls were where the ashes would fall. And I was joking, but at the same time, I was just kind of like, it works. And she was all like, no, you know, like, but I was drunk. I didn't care. It was like, whatever. So anyway, I left it on a table. So, Chris comes over, and we smoke a bowl, and we're watching a movie, and the power goes out. So I lit a candle. So there's this dong incense stick, like dong with the incense stick stuck in it. And I light up all these candles, and he and I just sit there and, you know, talk, you know, drink beer and talk shit, you know, just in the dark with the candles going. And he's sitting there facing me, and all of a sudden, his face just cracks, and he just starts laughing, like, uncontrollably. He just can't stop himself just cracking up. And I'm, like, looking around, like, I'm, like, wiping my, like, what is going on? What are you laughing at? And he points, and I look behind me on the wall, and the candle was set in such a way that it projected this giant dick shadow on the wall. But with the incense stick sticking out of it, it was like bobbing in the candlelight. It was like, looked like it was peeing all over the And I've never been able to recreate that effect. But it was the funniest thing. But man, that guy should have just called me. I would have hooked him up. I mean, like $10, you know? It's like, here, it might not work, but it'll
do the job.
It'll do the job, and it'll get some laughs.
But that's all I got. That's enough.
That's enough. All right. Let's take a break, and we'll come back.
Night is upon us again. Throw a little party, start a bunch of fires, make a little profit.
Someone's dead. They can't come back, can they?
That's what I thought. Are you referring to anyone in particular?
You know, my daddy used to say, every man's got a devil. You can't rest till you find him.
Winked at me before he jumped out a fourth-floor window like he had wings.
His link between the land of the living and the realm of the dead.
So he killed the crow.
Caw, caw, bang, I'm dead!
The best the devil stood. I felt how awful goodness is.
All right, and we're back.
Look at it.
Got yourself under control.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
The 50,000 pound man.
$100,000 man. If you want to go big. use the big number.
Okay, so I got the idea of this episode driving down the freeway. Saw a billboard for the Houston Museum of Natural Science for an exhibit they're having now called Death by Natural Causes, which is essentially talking about animals, plants, other things that can kill you. And I started thinking, you know, that can be expounded upon, because you can also die, you have a greater chance of dying in different places. There are everyday things that can kill you. You know, natural causes can be you can call anything natural causes.
Yeah.
If you fall downstairs, this is death by natural causes. You know, it's an accident, but...
Yeah, I mean, well, it depends, because, I mean, that would be an accident. You know, it's like, natural, I guess, would be something along the lines of, if you hadn't fallen down the stairs, would you have died? You know, it's like, but plants, animals, allergies, that kind of stuff, you know, yeah, I mean, nature taking you out.
Yeah.
And sometimes actively so. There's a lot.
There's a lot out there that can kill you.
There's several podcasts that I listen to and different readings and stuff that talk about kind of this nihilistic worldview that humans are like a cancer on society, and you know, so you see it in movies and TV, and especially with a lot of like climate science and stuff. It talks about how, you know, we've just ravaged the world. And from different perspectives, I mean, yes, in certain areas, in certain ways we have, and in other ways we have spent the majority of our existence trying not to die. You know?
Yeah.
So, it's easy for us in our nice, air-conditioned, insulated boxes that, you know, somebody 100 years ago killed off all the wolves. So we don't have to worry about wolves, yeah, right?
Right.
So we can decry the death of the wolf, but we're not also huddled around a campfire hoping that wolves don't bite us.
You're having to go out and gather and hunt everything, you know? Right?
So there is definitely a perspective, because nature, you know, people that talk about wanting to get back to nature, they're not talking about, well, most of them, they're talking about going down to the state park and plugging into some utilities and sitting around playing iPads under a tree.
Yep.
They're not talking about, you know, the real
gathering
real
for crap, themselves and everything.
You know, and it's one of those things. So, like, we went up, when we went to Seattle a couple weeks ago, we went to Mount Rainier. And I don't know if I mentioned it on the show, but we ran into some park rangers while we were up there. And while we were up there the whole day, it was a beautiful day. It was a cool day, blue skies, awesome clouds, snow-capped mountains, clean mountain air. Off in the distance, you could smell, you know, you could smell like some campfire smoke. And you're like, this is heavenly. So we saw these couple park rangers, and they're just walking around. And I made the comment, I was like, well, how cool of a job would that be? You know, you just wander around like on days like this all the time, and that's your job. So my friend Kristen, they started talking to the girls, and my friend Kristen was like, oh, you know, this is beautiful. What does a bad day look like for you? And he's like, pulling suicides out of the gorge, bear attacks and missing people and people who go off the trails and end up, you know, hurt or dead or what, you know. And it was kind of a stark, you know, it was a reality check. Like, oh, yeah, we are really kind of off in the middle of nowhere here.
Yeah.
There's no Starbucks. I mean, yeah, there's probably a Starbucks and a badger hole around there somewhere.
Defending it's, for yourself pretty
it's
much,
Washington,
though.
But still, you know, there's a lot of shit that can kill you even on a really nice day.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, let's start off with some animals. And some of these may, probably won't surprise you once we talk about them and everything, but start off with alligators. You know, alligators only kill an average of one person a year.
Just one.
In the United States. One person a year. Alligators are very deadly, though. We talked about an alligator death the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Alligators aren't something to toy with. They're not good pets, no matter what Miami Vice taught you. They're wild animals with a lot of teeth and a lot of strength.
Well, they're also reptiles.
Yeah.
They don't have a... they're not cuddly.
No.
No. They're basically wired to survive and kill and eat and keep surviving.
Right.
And get a tan.
Sharks. Okay, now, the shark in Jaws killed the same number of people in that movie as died in 1 year, averagely, by sharks. Five people
worldwide.
A year.
Worldwide.
Yeah, worldwide. Only five people a year die from sharks. There's lots of shark attacks, but actual deaths are only about five per year in mm-hmm. sharks. So even as deadly as we think sharks are, and we're afraid of them, they can maim you like crazy. There's tons of people that get maimed by sharks.
Well, it's a natural fear.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a primal fear. and it's a fear of the unknown. And I always use it whenever I'm talking about, generally it's usually in a political argument whenever you're talking about, it comes to like gun control or something. It's like the reality is, and I'm not gonna talk gun control, but when you break it down statistically, then the people who are alive and own guns, you know, so like if one guy goes on a rampage and he kills a few people, there's still like 100 million gun owners whose guns just sat in their safe all day long and they didn't kill anybody.
Right.
And I understand that the people who are affected by that violent outburst are traumatized, they're affected, they're injured, they're dead, their loved ones, you know, whatever. But it's kind of like a shark attack. You know, you can't go kill every shark because a shark bites one person.
Right.
That's not to say that whoever got bit by that shark isn't either scarred or maimed or dead. Like, it's a big deal to the one getting bitten.
Yeah.
But you can't take it out on every shark.
Right.
The funny thing is, the weird thing is, whenever they go on sprees, like, you won't have much shark activity at all, and then all of a sudden you'll get just like
changing crew comes up and all of a sudden
a rash of attacks. Yeah. Or they start acting in ways that they don't normally act.
And start going to places they normally aren't seen and stuff like that. And like we recently had around Surfside.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, remember, larger sharks started coming closer to shore and everything.
Well, they're always there. It's just normally their feeding patterns are such that they're not real interested. And people are too close in. But that's the thing, is they don't... They're opportunistic.
Yeah.
So they don't really care that much.
Okay, next on this list, we were just talking about wolves. Apparently between the 14th and 19th centuries, wolves would kill hundreds of people a year. They're a lot more. People were out scavenging and hunting, gathering and everything, and you came across them a lot more often. Nowadays, less than a dozen people are killed by wolves annually. Killed by wolves annually.
That would not be a good way to go. I'm being attacked by a wolf.
Especially that big giant wolf we saw we talked about the other day.
Oh, what the hell is he doing?
You know what animal kills more people globally than wolves? The horse. The good old sweet horse that everybody loves. And want to get your kid a pony.
Cows. Cows kill a shitload of people too. They're not nice.
Right. Well, and a lot of it has to do with we're not talking percentages against population. There's a lot more horses than wolves, and a lot more people interact with horses than they do with wolves. So there's around 20 fatal accidents in the world every year because of horses. Horses, wow. Killing people. Next up on the list, and I think a lot of this may have to do with habitat encroachment in certain areas of the world, but the leopard. Leopards kill 29 people a year. They're not the meanest of the big cats, but there's just a lot more human interaction with the cats now because of where they live, people encroaching on their areas.
Did you see that video of that cheetah that got in that dude's Jeep?
No.
Sort of pants-shittingly scary. There's a dude out on safari. He's like in a Land Rover, so it's got the open top and the open windows, and he's watching cheetahs. And he's got cameras mounted, so you see... you see from a couple of different angles. This cheetah got on the hood of his car and then came in through the skylight and got into the passenger seat and just started looking around. And this dude's just sitting there stock still. And the cheetah's got this look, this attitude of like, I don't know where I am. So it's like anything will make it freak out. But it's also in close quarters.
Right.
And this cheetah's like sniffing around and like looking at stuff and like pawing at stuff inside the car, like pawing at the gear shift. And it like reaches, like it goes right up against this dude's face. And it's just like... And this dude's just like... And then finally, it just kind of looks around, it snuffles and huffs, and then pops back out the top and then lays on the hood. And this dude's just like... Oh, God.
No shit, dude.
Just like... But yeah, and cheetahs aren't known to really attack people, but if you freak it out inside your vehicle...
It's like, in close quarters, it's cornered, basically. Yeah,
if you freak it out inside your vehicle, it's got teeth and claws, and you ever seen a cat just go apeshit for a second?
Bobcats, man.
You know? That would not be a good thing.
No. I did see a video this week of some Russian hunters that were boar hunting, and they killed two or three of them, some shit like that. And they threw the boars in the back of their SUV. One of them wasn't dead, so there's video of there's like three or four of them. This boar standing up in the back of their SUV, freaking out, wanting to get out and shit. And then one of them's filming it with his camera phone from outside. And somebody climbs on the hood and like opens the back, and the boar, somebody's waiting for the gun, and the boar jumps out and hauls ass and gets away. He ended up getting away. They weren't able to kill him. So.
Wow.
But leopards kill 30 people a year. That's a significant number.
I read somewhere that in Mumbai, India,
mm-hmm.
that they'll actually, because they don't have air conditioner in a lot of their buildings, they'll actually like come into apartments and take people, especially like little kids. Like in India, they'll imagine having a panther like come into your house and get you.
Well, I think I told you about what happened in Zimbabwe when Ed Robinson, rest his soul, he was my mentor, worked back in the day. But he was living in Zimbabwe, and a story came out. This couple were having sex outside, and the guy was behind the woman, and the fucking lion comes out and grabs him and drags him in the jungle and killed him. In the middle of fornicating.
Wow.
No shit.
That is a downer.
Yeah. Tied with leopards are ants. Even though they're tiny, they can be fierce. They fire ants are dangerous for three reasons. Rush their victims in great numbers. They bite the skin of their victims to get a strong hold, and they inject venom. So if you get enough red ants on you, your ass is done.
Mm-hmm.
They kill about 30 people a year globally. Next on the list, jellyfish.
Jellyfish are bad.
Being stung by a jellyfish is a good way to ruin your day at the beach, but out of 200,000 annual stings, about 40 people are fatally wounded by jellyfish a year.
That's... Jellyfish are... And there's a box jellyfish that's like really, really bad.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's like little tiny things that you can't even see, but they're so venomous.
I've had a jellyfish sting before when I was a kid in Mississippi, in Biloxi. I'll never forget. That shit hurt, dude. It felt like there were just a ton of just splinters in my foot. It sucked. Mm-hmm. Big time. So you imagine ended up like Dory and Finding Nemo ended up in a whole school of them. Mm-hmm. That would be horrible, man. Bees are next on the list, killing 53 people a year annually.
A lot of that's from allergies.
Yes. Yep. That's exactly what it is.
So if I told you, I don't know, are wasps on there?
We haven't gotten there yet.
Okay. So for the longest time, for my entire life, living here, mosquito season, whatever, bug bites, ant bites, mosquitoes, never really bothered me. Now I'd get a mosquito bite, and I don't like mosquitoes. It wasn't as if I was like immune to them. But I'd get a couple mosquito bites, and they'd kind of itch, and they'd go away, and it's no problem. Like, 2 or 3 years ago, I was doing some stuff in my backyard, and I came across a wasp nest, and I'm so glad that I saw it when I did, because when I moved the thing, they all flew up instead of out at
me.
So I had a chance to see what was going on, and I turned around and ran, because it was a big nest. Turned around and ran, and I was like 10 paces away, and one of them got me. He got me on the back, and it felt like I was being shot. But this motherfucker, he landed on me and like jabbed it in. Like, he wasn't a passive sting. Like, he went for the gold, and I felt like I was shot.
It shit hurts, dude.
And it hurt like hell. And I'd been stung before and never really, again, it sucked. I didn't like it, but it wasn't like, didn't want to bring me to my knees. Like, that hurt like a son of a bitch.
Maybe in the type of wasp also.
But the weirdest thing is it totally changed my physiology. Like, now mosquitoes or ants bite me, they well up big.
Really?
Like, I'm totally allergic to, like, mosquitoes and ants now that I wasn't before. And I asked a doctor, I was like, this is the only thing I can think of that might, that's like exposure to venom. He's like, yeah, that's probably it. I'm like, so now I'm like, dude, do I need to get like an emergency EpiPen just in case? Because if a bee gets me, I don't know what is going to happen.
Right. Like, you don't want to find out the hard way.
Yeah. So.
Next on the list, killing 130 people a year, the cute little Bambi.
Deer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of that has to do with car accidents, deer running out in the middle of the road,
Yeah.
Big four-wheel drive trucks running into them or swerving, trying to miss them.
They don't generally pull the Michael Myers on you.
No. I've seen deer attack you.
Oh, they'll kick the crap out of you. But, yeah, a lot of that's probably accidents.
Yeah. Next on the list at 200 people a year, the Cape buffalo from Africa. Problem is, the large male buffalo wander from the herd to keep watch from a distance, attacking any threats from behind. So, basically, you see a herd of Cape buffalo, and you're a tourist paying $10,000 in Zimbabwe to go and see this safari ranch.
There's one behind you.
And you're walking up, and he's behind you, and you don't see him, and he's the one that comes and gores you. Now, this next one's going to have you realizing that Africa might not be a good place to go for a tourist destination if you're worried about being killed by animals. The next few, actually. At 250 people per year, the cock-blocking lion kills about 250 people per year. They instinctively hunt. That's what they do. So if they see somebody out there that they can get a jump on, they're going to kill you.
Yep.
So, yeah, lions are up there, 250.
It's a circle of life, man.
Mauled by a lion would be a bad way to go, man.
That would not be good.
You know what might be even worse? Tied at 500 people per year, the mighty elephant. Getting crushed by an elephant and thrown around by an elephant, that would suck, dude.
That would not be good either.
Elephants will respect your space if you respect theirs, but elephants who feel threatened by poachers or overly aggressive tourists are known for bouts of rage. They will charge animals they view as a threat. And you're not gonna win a fight against
them. You're not gonna outrun them either.
No.
And you can't climb a tree.
And who ties with the elephant? Remember Congo? Remember the movie Congo?
Apes.
Hippos.
Yes, they are bad.
Hippos kill 500 people per year. Don't be fooled by their sleeping nature or their portrayal as comical characters in cartoons. Hippopotami are some of the most aggressive animals on the planet and will not hesitate to charge humans who get too close. More than one human per day on average is killed by a hippo every year. And when you think about, aren't hippos on the protected species list? There's not a whole lot of them. And they're killing a person a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's...
Yeah, they're,
fuck
they're,
a pit bull. I don't want a hippo anywhere near me. I know we talked about our lovely American alligators. Next on the list are crocodiles. And everybody probably was saying, when you talk about alligators only kill one person a year, talking about alligators in North America. Crocodiles kill an average of 1,000 people a year. They are deadly as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Crocodiles are opportunistic hunters, and any animal that moves in their habitat is fair game. Around 1,000 people each year are fatally attacked by crocodiles. But because they hunt in generally poor and more remote regions, each death receives far less media attention than others. But you got to realize, these are areas where people survive by fishing, by hunting and gathering, and being their opportunistic hunters. You go down to the side of the water... Alligators. I remember one of the examples I always give. I used to do a lot of cast netting for shrimp, and we'd go to these weirs and everything where it was kind of like a little dam you could walk out on that were set up to where you could throw your cast net out. There was running water to catch shrimp. I remember one day we dropped, me and my neighbor were going cast netting, so we dropped off his son and my son at this other little area to go crabbing while we were throwing the cast net because the weir would get too packed. We couldn't have the kids up there and stuff, so we gave them some turkey necks. You guys go ahead and crab over here. So we caught a limit of shrimp. We go back to get the kids, and we get down, and they're still crabbing and stuff, and they only caught a few. So I said, again, give me one of those. Let me see what I can do. So I throw it out. An alligator had been underneath that area they were standing for 3 hours and hadn't moved. They never noticed him. And when I threw it out, he jumped out after it.
Mm.
If one of those kids would have fell in the water, that would have been their ass.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about these animals, man. They can lay low. And you'll never know they're there until they want you to know.
Well, they also survive by you not knowing.
Yeah.
So they like you say, they're opportunistic. They take prey when they think they can get away with it.
Right. Killing 2,000 people a year. Tapeworms.
Parasites.
Tapeworms makes its way into human host through food or water contaminated with eggs. People go many years with no symptoms before the infection suddenly becomes serious and they die. It's nasty. Then, of course, you got the other ones, the roundworms, 2,500 people a year. This is an interesting one on this list that I didn't really expect to see here, because you don't hear about this very often, but at 3,250 people a year, scorpions.
Really?
Yeah. Avoiding the scorpions should be common sense. There's only two kinds of scorpions have venom potent enough to kill a human being: the Israeli death stalker and the Brazilian yellow scorpion. Children, the elderly, and people with compromised immune systems are especially vulnerable to the potent neurotoxins delivered by these two arachnids. Yeah, scorpions kill over 3,000 people a year, dude. Did you ever realize scorpions in some areas are like roaches here?
Yeah.
They're everywhere. When we used to have a hunt camp out in Hondo, we had scorpion problems in Hondo. We catch them all the time in little insect traps and everything in the shop in the back.
Yeah, the ones around here are like brown. They're, you know, they're little, they're intimidating looking, but you don't really think much of it. You can just flick them and make them go away.
Right.
Pay a little closer attention.
Yeah. These animals right here kill people due to disease that they spread in tropical and subtropical freshwater. But freshwater snails kill 10,000 people per year.
But from diseases?
Yeah, schistosomiasis causes all kinds of problems, from rashes, digestive problems, to infertility and bladder cancer. But yeah, they spread this on all the plant life and everything in the freshwater and stuff. So at 10,000 people per year, the assassin bug. Assassin bug transmits a dangerous parasite through its feces, the parasite which causes a condition known as Chagas disease. Immediately unleashes acute symptoms which can include severe swelling of the heart and brain. Deadly phase of the Chagas disease causes around 10,000 fatalities annually.
Where does that thing live?
It does not say. But I wouldn't want to go there.
No.
And of course, you got the normal ones that you know. We're in insects now. Insects spread disease very easily.
Yeah.
Tsetse flies kills 10,000 people per year. That's also in Africa.
Those are the ones that lay the eggs and then they burst out of your skin.
Yes. Yep. And number four on the list. Well, 21. But dogs. Dogs kill 25,000 people per year annually globally. Maulings and bites from rabid dogs, and also maulings. Looking at 25,000 people. But there's so many damn dogs, it's a very small percentage of the total dog population.
True, but still. If you're like, oh, hey, would you rather have a pet dog or a pet alligator? Well, technically, the alligator's safer.
Right. Now, this is going to be globally. In the United States, there's almost zero chance of dying by these particular animals annually. But snakes. Snakes kill 50,000 people per year globally. But we don't have the most venomous snakes here where we live. We also don't have the snake population that some places have that we have here. There's two left.
Well, hold on.
Go ahead.
So, I've been listening to a series of lectures that talks about evolution, biblical stories, and it's multiple hours and multiple episodes, and it's very, very deep and detailed. But one of the things that he talks about is it's the psychological significance of the Bible stories. And so basically he's taking the stories of Genesis and stuff, the creation myths and stuff, and saying that perhaps we're not looking at it the proper way. We're looking at these stories as historical, and you can pretty easily debunk, you know, creation myth as historically inaccurate. He's like, but that's not the right way to look at it. If you look at it instead of historically, if you look at it as drama, as this is the story of us, and this is where we came from. He says, it's extremely long and extremely detailed and extremely well-researched, and I highly recommend it, and I'll find the notes to put in. But he points out that as primates living in trees, one of our primary predators would be snakes.
Yeah.
Because snakes are opportunistic hunters too, and in the cradle of civilization where we came from in Africa, snakes are big and they prey on apes. You know, anacondas, those big types of snakes, and even the little ones, and says that our eyesight is specifically attuned. Like, most animals don't see color. We see color. Why? Well, snakes have colors. Like, basically, we've evolved to avoid snakes.
Yeah.
So, as seeing a snake as a symbol of danger or evil in our history is makes pretty logical sense on a biological level. You know, in other words, so the snake is the devil. That's the thing.
That's
you
the
know,
bad thing.
That's the bad thing. Something to be avoided. Well, listening to that and then going down a further rabbit hole, apparently, like, chimpanzees are instinctually scared of snakes. You can have a chimp that's born in captivity, never seen a snake. You show them a snake, they freak their shit out. It's like, it's inside the lizard brain of the chimp that this is bad news.
Yep.
So we've basically been terrified of snakes since day one.
Yeah.
And we've evolved to avoid snakes. What's the meaning of life? Avoid snakes. pretty interesting. But it's a little side note for you there, because that's pretty interesting.
It's ingrained that far back.
Yeah.
All right.
That's one thing I'm scared of. I just can't abide a snake.
I like snakes, man. I used to go snake hunting all the time.
I'd go hunting them.
No, I wouldn't kill them. I would catch them live. Bring them back alive like the guy from the old show in the 80s. Next up on the list, of course, the second most deadliest animal, humans. We kill 475,000 people per year.
Of course.
Can't help it.
In some years, more.
And of course, you can guess the deadliest animal.
Mosquitoes.
Yes, 1 million people per year, according to the World Health Organization. Most of the deaths are caused by malaria, the West Nile virus, and dengue fever, also potentially fatal diseases by mosquitoes. Not done yet, don't worry.
No, you're good.
Plants can kill too, just so you know. You got to be aware of plants. The chemical makeup of some plants can really, really screw you up. Jimson weed is one. Jimson weed is also known as the devil's weed, hell's bell, and devil's trumpet. It grows in the United States, Canada, and some Caribbean islands. The plant has power to alter mind condition and act as a powerful hallucinogen. Elements of poison can be found within most of all part of Jimson weed, mostly concentrated in the leaves and the seeds. They grow up to 3 to 5 feet in height, grow along roots. Toxicity in Jimson weed varies by plant's age, climate, and place it belongs to. Careless usage, especially by sucking juice of eating roots, leaves of Jimson weed, will affect your nervous system, eyes, ears, throat, mouth, overdose, and result in death. Now, plants can't attack you, except for the man-eating plants in South America that we've talked about in our crypto episodes. So over time, we've learned what plants to avoid. That's one thing about humans. We learn from experience. Normally, you're supposed to, but some people aren't that prone to it. But that's why you don't hear about a lot of plant deaths nowadays, because you know what not to eat.
Yeah.
You know, don't eat that mushroom in the front yard over there, because it might kill you.
Well, it's so weird, too, because I always, like, I like spicy food, but I'm not a real big fan of, like, super hot. Like, people who will have their masculinity contests based on how hot of a pepper they can eat. Like, I just don't...
I've seen it happen before.
Like, I don't understand that. Yeah. I'd rather just be comfortable and enjoy my meal, you know? Give me a little spice, I'm good. But I just can't imagine, like, the first guy, like... And I realize jalapenos have been bred for whatever, but just imagine that jalapenos just exist in nature. And the first guy to eat one of those... It got you burning, got you choking, got you just like you drink some water and it doesn't make it better, and you're just laying there just like, the whole like top half of your body is in pain, and you happen to not die, but then you're not like, you're like, okay, by all practical purposes, you should say, we're not eating that no more. That's banned. but instead they're like, fuck it, cut it up and put it on our tacos. Let's, you know, it's like, how much of a reaction do you have to something to stop eating it?
Okay. One of the more... Wait, where's this doing this?
It's probably a privacy policy.
Okay. The castor bean plant. One of the most deadliest plants there is. Everyone is aware about castor oil, which is used to treat different skin conditions, reduce pain, and is an antiviral. The castor bean plant, the flowering plant from which the castor oil comes from, is actually highly poisonous. Castor oil is made from seeds of castor bean plant, but this seeds contain ricin. Extremely dangerous toxin. It can also be present in other parts of the castor bean plants. Ricin is 6,000 times more poisonous than cyanide, one of the most poisonous things ever known. But poisoning from castor beans merely depends upon the amount of seeds consumed by the victim. You gotta eat a lot of them. The effect of castor beans in animals also varies by species. In humans, it makes burning in the mouth, pain, dropping blood pressure, and diarrhea. Without proper treatment, if you were to ingest a bunch of these, it will cause death within 24 hours. So don't try to make your own castor oil.
No.
Just buy it in the store. It's a lot safer. Oleander is another plant known as anerium. It is an evergreen shrub native to Southeast Asia. It is found as a garden plant, and it's all its parts are toxic. Digitoxigenin, nerin, oleandrin, oleodroside are main poisonous ingredients, mainly concentrated within the leaves and stem of the plant. The plant also blooms sweet-smelling flowers in its cluster. Unfortunately, the flowers of the oleander also contain toxic elements.
That's what's planted all up and down all of the highways.
Yep. The toxic elements, they do not affect birds, but the ingestion of oleander will affect the heart and central nervous system of humans, makes an irregular heart rate, vomiting, salivation, and diarrhea. The poisoning from oleander can be affected by chewing its leaves or tasting nectar of the flower. These are just common things.
Yeah.
We're smart enough not to eat plants.
Well, you know, weed is illegal. Marijuana is illegal because it's dangerous. But yet the government plants oleander for miles.
Right.
I'm aware of the irony. I'm just putting it out.
The rosary pea is another one. Can be easily recognizable. It has a scarlet color seed. It grows in tropical regions around the world. The attractive seed of the rosary pea used as beads in many places in India and Indonesia. At the same time, it is highly toxic due to the presence of a natural poison known as abrum. Breaking the shell could expose the abrum from seeds to rosary pea. Once consumed, abrum makes severe changes within your body. The poison will prevent cells from creating proteins they demanded. Cells die by time. A high rate of exposure can cause death within 72 hours. Imagine somebody discovered that. Somebody probably said, let me try this.
Oh, yeah.
And ate it. Nobody knew why he died. Took a while to figure it out.
Just let's not eat that.
You know, just there's so many things that can kill you out there, man. There's also a lot of places that are dangerous. Death Valley, USA. Death Valley is the oven of the earth. The stunning desert holds the record for the highest temperature ever recorded on our planet. Can you guess what it is?
It's like 140.
134. It's 56.7 Celsius. No matter how tough you are, the blazing sun searing heat of Death Valley will make you exhausted very quickly. Without water, you can live here for only 14 hours. So if you were to get stuck with no water, had to trudge through it, you better get somewhere quick within 14 hours, otherwise you're dead. Deserts are bad.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the Danakil Desert. Temperatures top 120 degrees, numerous active volcanoes, geysers that spit toxic gases. It's hard to imagine a more brutal landscape than Africa's Danakil Desert. Most people would probably consider this place a literal hell on earth, but it still attracts lots of brave adventurers from all around the world. Just keep in mind that when visiting on your own without an experienced guide is strictly forbidden. You have to pay somebody to get you through there. You ever to Mount Washington? Mount Washington in the United States holds the world record for the fastest winds on the surface of the earth. The highest recorded speed here is 203 miles per hour.
Dude.
The strong winds, however, are not the only concern in this area. The freezing temperatures can drop as low as negative 40 degrees, and continuous snowfalls make Mount Washington a very dangerous place. It's only 6,200 feet high, but it's one of the world's deadliest peaks because of the weather up there and stuff. The lows that the human body experiences at the top of it can be compared to the ones that someone would experience on Mount Everest, essentially, even though it's only 6,200 feet tall. It's pretty rough. Places can kill you, man. It's crazy. Snake Island, Brazil. We were talking about snakes. Hidden somewhere off the coast of Brazil, this island is widely recognized as the most dangerous place on the planet. Reason for this is quite simple. This place is full of one of the most venomous snakes in the world, the Bothrops. Researchers estimate that about 5 snakes per square meter live on the island. It's a lot, dude. There are several stories of people succumbing to the deadly predators in no time at all. One of these stories recalls a lighthouse keeper who was attacked by the snakes and died. Snake Island's lighthouse has been automated ever since that fatality, and the Brazilian government has prohibited any visitors from setting foot there. So you can't even go.
Good.
But imagine, 5 snakes per square meter. That's a 2. You can't go anywhere without...
It's like carpeting
yeah. snakes.
Just nuke it from orbit. It's really the only way to be sure.
The Valley of Death in Kamchatka, Russia. The Kamchatka Peninsula in the Russian Far East also has its own Death Valley. It's located not far from the famous Valley of Geysers. High concentrations of toxic gases found in the area pose a serious threat to every living thing. Plants, animals die very quickly, while people soon start to feel unwell and get a fever, dizziness, and chill. So you can't even... The atmosphere kills you, essentially, because it's just full of toxic gases everywhere. Bikini Atoll in the Marshall Islands. I think you might have heard of that one before.
Mm-hmm.
Island looks like a paradise, but it's actually home to numerous nuclear testing programs that turn the picturesque island of Bikini into a radioactive wasteland. The inhabitants were forced to abandon their homes, and even today, there are high levels of radiation that can cause cancer very easily on this island itself. So it's a beautiful place. I mean, gorgeous, crystal blue water,
mm-hmm.
but just the high levels of radiation cause it, you just can't live there. Elephant Kingdom in Chonburi, Thailand. Why is that place dangerous? An elephant kingdom, there's a crocodile farm. The owner leases out to a small, semi-closed raft space for tourists to come visit, see, and feed crocodiles. This raft they put you out on in the middle of this thing with these crocodiles.
Oh, wow.
Tourists hold meat out with fishing poles and tease the alligators and make crocodiles make them jump out of the water at the food and stuff. I would not do that.
Nope.
There's no way. Look at that little rickety-ass fence trying to protect you from these. You're in their environment. There's no way, dude.
Oh, that's a whole pocket full of nopes.
Oh, yeah.
Nope, I'm good.
I read about crocodiles. They kill a lot of people. Okay. A far depression in Ethiopia. Home of one of the most dangerous volcanoes on the planet. Small earthquakes are constantly shaking the region, forming numerous deep chasms. This happens because Urta El contains 2 lava lakes in its summit crater. The amount of lava in them is constantly changing, causing the Earth's surface to shake up and down. So it's just...
constantly flushed.
Yes. Lake Natron in Tanzania. We'll finish with this. Look how beautiful this picture is. It's a lake. It's not supposed to be red. What that red is... it's a crust on the top. It's a crust of alkalized salt on the surface of the lake that is so dangerous that all living creatures die just coming into contact with it. For obvious reasons, swimming in this lake is strictly prohibited, and the strong odor of hydrogen sulfide coming from the lake surface won't let you admire the stunning scenery for long. So,
hydrogen sulfide will kill you in
a breath. I've done tons of H2S courses being in an oil field, and yeah, it's this no-smell silent killer. It hits you, you're dead.
Yep.
This whole lake is just a
whole lake full
bed of hydrogen sulfide leaking up through the surface.
Mm.
Beautiful picture. It looks cool, but you don't want to go there.
No.
Definitely death very quickly by natural causes, of course. That's what I got.
Well,
it's a dangerous world we live in.
Now we know some places not to travel.
Yeah. It's one of those things. Cross that off your bucket list.
Getting scared. So, like, right about a week before we went up to Seattle, they had a cougar or a mountain lion attack. And so there's basically there's two guys that are biking, and it was, I mean, it was an established trail, but it was kind of off the beaten path. It was kind of one of the more advanced trails that you can ride on. And I'm not exactly sure. I don't know why they were off their bikes or why they were stopped, but the mountain lion attacked one of them. Or it was, it attacked, it came after both of them. But I mean, so they bigged up and they threw stuff at it and even hit it with one of their bikes. So, you know, imagine from a perspective of a cat, you know, being a bicycle, you know, swung at you. But what it did was it swerved off and then it ran and attacked the first biker. Well, the second biker, like the first biker was down and it had him by the head and was dragging him. And the second biker was like, holy crap, I can't help him, so I'm out of here. So he turned around, and I don't know why he didn't hop in his bike, but he ran. And the panther left biker number one, attacked biker number two, and killed him. And dragged him off into the woods. So biker number one, who had his head in the mouth of this cat, got up and ran and got help. And then they come up there and they found it. They found the dead biker, the second one. He was dead. They killed the panther, and he was a full-grown mountain lion, but he was only 100 pounds. So he had, like, some problem with him.
Yeah.
But that was, like, a week before we went up there. And it's like just a little bit west of Seattle, or a little bit east of Seattle. It's like, holy crap, we're going to go wander around in those mountains. Like, shit. But, yeah.
It's a repellent.
And I'm not knocking the bikers. I'm not knocking the people who died, because, you know, there's a lot of hardy mountain and outdoorsy people up there. But on average, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to go ride some bike trails, even if they're quote unquote extreme. You know, you're thinking like extreme means that the trail is hard to ride.
Yeah, your ass is going to kill you by the time you finish.
You're not thinking wild animals are going to stalk out, right, and tear your ass up. You know, so, but I mean, they'll get you. I mean, freaking the governor, what was his name? Rick Perry.
Rick Perry had that coyote he shot.
Yeah, he was off on a morning jog in a park near Austin and shot a coyote.
Came out after his dog. He had his dog with him, right?
I think he just came after him.
Okay.
But, yeah, so he shot a coyote because he just carried when, you know, it's like personal security or whatever, but...
And they came out with the Rick Perry edition...
Yeah,
22 Ruger 22. Yeah, after that,
I think that was a Kel-Tec.
Yeah, it was a Kel-Tec. Okay,
Kel-Tec brand he used. But I mean, you never know,
right?
You know, I used to have a wallet chain, and you're talking about dogs. When I was in high school, I was walking down to my buddy's house. He lived at the end of the street, and my street. You've been to my house. I grew up about half a mile south of where I live now.
Okay,
so suburbs. There's no. This stray dog looked like a wolf, like a big German shepherd. Just kind of comes out of a backyard, like, growling at me, and it charged. I whacked the hell out of it with my wallet chain, and it ran off. But you never know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting there walking down the street, like, here's a big-ass dog. I don't have a stick or nothing, but I do have this. You know? Yeah.
They can go bad very fast.
Yep. Stay away from ants.
Naturally. And bees.
Well, I think that's gonna do it.
I'm done. I'm satisfied.
Let's call it a day, everybody. This has been episode 93 of Scary Dad Podcast, and we will see you next time. Keep it scary.
Later.